Welcome to Bench Boost Boys Game Week 28 Forecast. Viva Gareth Bale. With me, Gav, and you, Ben. How are you, Ben?
Good, thank you, Gav. Glad to be back.
Glad to have you back, mate. What was that other bloke who used to host this?
Who?
Steve or something?
Who?
Oh, Scott, that's him. I think he's drinking wine in South Australia, which, to be honest, I can make the worst things to do. Scott will be back next week. This week, we've got a pub with you. So thanks for joining us. Quick bit of admin, top of the show, as I say as always, but sometimes we forget, or I forget. Join our private league on FPL. P2IFBX is the code. Jump on that. The more people we can get on to knock Scott down a peg or two, the better, of course. At Bench Boost Boys is the Twitter. Benchboostboys.club is the website. Visit them all. Talk to us. On Twitter, you feel free to tweet us or DM us with, not nudes, but mailbag questions. Other things, that's up to you. And we'll endeavour to answer those mailbag questions. We have one this week, which we'll get to towards the end of the show. But we're going to get into how our game week 27 is going so far. Small caveat, one game left to play, isn't there?
There is.
So we've got Manchester City hosting Southampton, which our time is tomorrow morning. So that leaves a slight bit of mystery, but we'll talk about our game weeks outside of that fixture. Then after that, quick break, a look at the watch list, and then the game week 28 fixtures. And then what we're going to do for game week 28 before the aforementioned mailbag. Ben, how's game week 27 treating you?
A mixed bag, I'd say. This week, Kane saved me. Basic Kane captain saved me.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the minus eight I took last week is kind of paying dividends.
He's paying it back.
Yeah.
Over installments.
Yeah. There's a lot of blanks across the board. So, yeah, on balance, not the best week. But yeah, like I say, Kane saved me. So overall, 74 points.
That's way above the game week average of 45, though.
Yeah.
But that's the Kane effect, I suppose.
The Kane effect, yeah. Martinez in goals, again, just providing clean sheets and bonus points. He's really set the tone for low-budget keepers. Like, next season, people's expectations are going to be so high. But, yeah.
Where else did your points come from?
So, yeah, I had, Martinez clean sheet and a bonus. I had Stones in defence with 1 point. They obviously lost 2-0 to United. Pereira with 2 points. Me with 2 points. I did have Rudiger in my starting lineup, but I'll touch on that in a minute because when I get to my subs, I'm going to do some crying. So yeah, me came on 2 points. And then Fernandez, 10 points with a goal, clean sheet, 2 bonus points. Again, proving his worth. He's been unbelievable this season. Son, then they beat Tottenham, beat Crystal Palace 4-1. He just got an assist there, so 5 points. Gundogan, blank, 2 points. Suchek, yeah, just had that awkward.
The midfielder's clean sheet, which seems like such a little runner-up price.
It's just, yeah, it's the taking part which counts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bamford with another blank. DCL with another blank, 2 points for each of them. And then Kane, captain, two goals, 2 assists, 3 bonus points.
Monster.
Yeah, really paying his dividends. So
go on then, what happened on your bench?
Gavin, what did happen on my bench? So I thought I was being really clever, even though Luke Shaw's been phenomenal since I've bought him.
He's been in great form, hasn't he?
Yeah, like so good. I just thought, you know, City's attack, Derby game, I think we spoke about this last time I was on.
Anything can happen in the Derby.
And I basically banked on the fact that City, they're going to get a goal. So, I left Shaw on my bench, but I did the rookie thing where I just put him on the bench and didn't organise the bench. So along on my bench, I had Madison, who was obviously injured, so he just took the third place. And then I put Shaw second, stupidly. He got 14 points, which, you know, is very upsetting.
Public service announcement. A lot of people still don't realise this. It matters what order you put your subs in. Outside of the keeper, those other subs, the order you put them in, formation permitting, is where the auto subs will happen. So poor old Ben here.
Yeah, rookie error. Wouldn't and it? Then I also had Fraser Forster, who was my transfer in this week, just to free up. He's a low budget keeper, 4 million. McCarthy, I read, was getting dropped by Southampton because they've just been in shit form. So yeah, Forster was coming in. I thought, oh, he'll be good. 4 million.
Backup keeper.
Yeah, he got 6 points in the first game. Obviously playing City in the same game week, but yet to play. So 20 points on my bench, which is...
I've done worse, mate. I've had over 30 a couple of times, so don't feel too bad. But, oh well. And so at the moment, obviously game week's not over, but where does 74 points put you game week rank-wise? I think it's about, let's see, just under 575,000. That's good.
Yeah. And more importantly than anything, I've closed the gap on Scott.
Do you know what? As well, we should probably, even though he's not here and we make it often sound like we really dislike Scott, we love him dearly, we should talk about how he's doing. And so in this game week, he's on 65 points with a game week rank of about 1.1 million. So still good 20 points above the game week average, but I'm sure he'll be a little bit disappointed with that. Having a quick flick through his team, he had Martinez in goal as well. He captained Son. He thought he was going to get the jump on us.
Yeah.
And go for a differential captain pick.
He had Kane as well and captained Son.
I know. He'll be kicking himself for that one.
Sipping a wine in Adelaide, kicking himself, I'm sure.
He's also left a few points on the bench. He had Kufau for West Ham, had 6. He played Dallas, who got 1. Anyway, we shouldn't dwell too much, and although I'm about to. So for me, I'll get straight to the point. I'm on 82 points. That's good.
Really good.
Patchy, like you, the bulk of my points have come from captaining Harry Kane, so 38 points. Elsewhere, I went with Lingard. He was someone I brought in the other week. Goal, clean sheet. Lost points for missing a penalty, and he got a yellow card. So that was bittersweet. At least he scored the follow-up, but he's kind of picking up a yellow card and missing a penalty. He's shaved off some points there.
Yeah.
Fernandez as well, like you, 10 points. Now, the interesting one for me is, when we did the show last week, I talked about wanting to bring Rüdiger in. I thought you'd done well doing that. It really looked like Tuchel had Rüdiger as his one locked-in defender. So I thought, well, there you go. I don't want long-term two Villa defensive players. Out went Target, who, by the way, got a clean sheet. And in came Rüdiger, who, by the way, didn't play. So I didn't get any points for him.
Are you blaming me? Is this where it's going?
50% your fault. But my automatic sub did pay off because I had Creswell on the bench. And he scored 12 points. So
very nice.
An assist, a clean sheet, 3 bonus points. So some awkward blanks as well in that game week. Dallas, Cancelo, Gundogan, fucking Salah. We'll talk more about him later. Rafinha and Bamford. I had a lot of players in that West Ham Leeds game, basically. So I had a -4 as well because I took out Barnes and Target and brought in Lingard and Rüdiger. But 82 points. My overall points are 1,596, and I'm sat just outside the top million mark. So, you know, I'm doing okay. Obviously, we do need to talk very briefly about that last fixture. So that's Man City at home to Southampton, which, apologies if you're listening to this and that game's already been played. We did joke about making 72 different variants of what happened. Cancelo with a 5th, you know, but that would be a lot of work. So what we'll do is we'll very quickly speculate based on exactly what we want to happen. And in usual form, I'll just say that the players that I've got, like Cancelo, it'd be nice if he got 4 goals and 3 assists. That'd be cool. Gundogan as well, if he wants to get a hat-trick, that'd be fantastic.
Yep, John Stones for me, 4 or 5 goals, minimum clean sheet.
Awesome.
I think Gundogan that's quite likely as well.
Not now KDB's back. He's going to be taking all the glory. That said, though, on a slightly more serious note, Southampton are doing poorly. City are going to want to make amends for losing the Manchester derby. So
it could be an absolute whitewash.
It could be, you know, could be a bit of a rout. Let's see what Pep Roulette brings up, though, knowing my luck, Cancelo won't even play.
Yeah, that's the thing. You just can't bank on anything. No one's fixed in that team.
Doesn't seem that way, but we'll touch on that a bit later in the show when we get to talking about what we're going to do for game week 28 and a little bit around game week 29, the infamous blank game week. It is important to consider that, so we will talk in more detail a little bit later. But let's go to a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about the watch list. Bench Boss Boys. Right, watch list update. So last week between us, we had this, some part of about two or three players on the watch list. Well, you can start. What you got?
There's quite the contrast for my watch list this week compared to the last time I was on here. I feel like I've got half of the FPL player rota.
Like, I like them all.
Yeah. So, yeah, just conscious of the blank game week 29. I don't have many players in my starting 11 at the minute who are going to get a game. So I just, yeah, I've just put people on there because I'm going to have to take a minus eventually.
Well, so, we all know what that does to your game week rank, mate.
Yeah, so we know now. So we've discovered. Yeah, first of all, Cresswell, I think you said he had 12 points this game week.
He's had a great season.
Yeah, really, really consistent, really good, lots of assists. West Ham just seem to have, you know, all of a sudden they're a top four challenger and out of nowhere, the Moyes effect. So yeah, he's got a blank game week fixture, so he's definitely on the watch list. I've got Pereira on my team, and he's around the same price point. So they're just, if he's not performing for Leicester, then Cresswell's going to come in. That's, sure, that's my logic there. I've put Pepe, Saka, and Willian all from Arsenal on there, just to see. There's a lot of similar kind of Pep roulette stuff going on. Arteta is just, yeah, mixing that side up. So I'm going to, you know, I'll almost definitely bring one of those in, I think. But again, just kind of going to wait and see this game week, see what happens.
Or you could bring out the big bucks and go for Aubameyang.
Yeah, I was considering this because he's in real good form.
Suddenly, yeah.
Yeah, and but I just, he's
a lot more
awkward price point. Yeah. You know, you're almost getting rid of a Son or...
Well, he's what... Scott and I like to call a luxury asset. Once you get above that sort of 9 million mark, then it's spenny players.
Yeah. And then I've also got Target, Konsa, Mings from the Villa defence. They seem to have kind of tightened up a little bit at the minute. Those three are in pretty good form. They're quite equal in terms of their points per game.
I think it's because a lot of it comes from clean sheets.
Exactly.
You don't have any qualms with having a Villa defender and Martinez in goal. I mean, I'm not expecting Villa to get absolutely thrashed anytime soon, but just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done it myself. I'm just asking.
No qualms, really. I think I did at the start of the season have Mings and Martinez, and Mings was in really good form when I had him. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't hold anything against that strategy. I've also got Mount for Chelsea. He seems to be Tuchel's golden boy.
I thought Rudiger was, mate. Look what happened there.
Yeah.
I mean, Mount's fantastic, but I just get the fucking fear when it's like, is he going to play? Is he going to play? Or you really, it's that when you roll the dice and then you bring him in and they don't play and you just feel so cheated.
Yeah. And then I've also got Jota for Liverpool. Just he's just back from injury. Firmino, I think, took a knock, so he's going to be on the fringes again whilst he comes back to full fitness.
Yeah, once he gets to full fitness, I mean, you would imagine that Klopp will roll the dice a bit. I mean, it's not going great, so why not stick a different player in? And he's, you know, basically world class.
Yeah, and you know, like when he played those games earlier on in the season, he was on from an FPL perspective, he was scoring lots of points.
Yeah,
from a Liverpool perspective, the team got better. So,
well, Jota, even when he wasn't playing, he was coming for bench, he was getting FPL points.
Yeah, so
good shout. All right, well, I've got the names on mine, a couple of them at least are ones that, you know, when I don't really do a trad watch list. It's mainly, I could have talked about them last week. But just people who are still at the forefront, and I don't mean to rub salt into your wounds, mate, but number one name on there is Luke Shaw. Someone I've historically not been that impressed with, and I actually thought when Telles came in the transfer window, I thought that was a done deal, and I thought I was going to be bringing Telles into the team, and maybe Luke Shaw saw that as an opportunity to get motivated, and he's doing great.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. I think with the Euros coming up, that England spot, he's just really like turned up his game. really consistent starting as well, which is, you know, what you want as an FPL manager.
Well, early season, it was all about Wan-Bissaka in FPL, and it didn't always go that well. And suddenly it's about Luke Shaw. So, yeah, I'm keeping my eye on him. Someone I have mentioned a couple of times lately, when I've taken a bit of a deep dive and got a bit nerdy with the stats and the points per game stuff and the form, Dawson, who's on loan at West Ham at centre-back, I think scored again at the weekend.
He's an absolute giant, isn't he?
So. Yeah, but he's just racking up the points. And he's dirt cheap. So, you know, I'm not in any desperate need, but, I mean, if I'm talking about, oh, if Rudiger stays or not, then potentially might even save even more money and just bring Dawson in.
Blank game week, 29 fixture as well, of course, West Ham.
Thanks. And then the other one on my watch list, the favourite from earlier in the season, Jorginho. I nearly looked at him the other week and he didn't play again, or he played and he didn't do anything. And then at the weekend, he gets a penalty.
That reminds me earlier on in the season when there was just that, the set piece frenzy on FPL. It was like,
well, you've got to have Fernandes, you've got to have Jorginho.
Yeah, I think VAR just, you know, just got everyone shitloads of points.
Well, he is, he's playing, it feels like, 2 and 3 games. And when he does play, Tuchel has absolutely made him the penalty taker.
Yeah.
Like, he's resumed duties as penalty taker. And as you say, there's so many fucking penalties. And Jorginho is still cheap. So, not, you know, might be worth bringing in again.
I like them. All differentials as well, except for Shaw.
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably have got him now. But Dawson have had my own for a while. So, might well see him on my team sometime soon. Okay, well, let's take a quick break. Bench Boss Boys. Game week 28 fixtures. It feels weird, actually, that for the first time in what seems like forever, it's just 10 fixtures.
Yeah, no double weeks.
Yeah, just 10 fixtures.
No,
even last week we had 11. I mean, as we speak right now, one of those is still yet to be played. But just 10, and it kicks off with Newcastle versus Aston Villa. From an injury point of view, Sam Maximin and Wilson are still out for Newcastle, which is, frankly, kind of devastating for them.
Yeah, we were actually speaking about this the other day, weren't we? That especially since Wilson went out, Newcastle just don't get goals.
And it was the same with Palace when Zaha was out.
Yeah.
These teams that kind of seemingly rely on one player or two players, and otherwise they just don't get going. It's pretty scary. From Villa's side, Grealish, which was a bit of a mystery what was going on with his leg injury, not helped by the manager saying, oh, it's not long term, suddenly he's now down to 25%. So, I mean, define long term, but he's not playing this weekend.
Yeah.
And then El Ghazi, who was someone who seemed to be getting some game time because Grealish is out, is on 75%. And as anybody who has been following the FPL injury list knows, at 75%, I'd say 3/4 of the time, 75% of the 75%, they play.
Yeah.
It's usually little knocks.
Earlier in the season, I was a victim to just always just panicking over the 75%. But now,
oh, same.
Now it doesn't really faze me.
Most of them are going to play. Yeah, I did that. Someone's on 75%, transfer him out.
Yeah,
and then he'd play and score.
I took loads of hits, like -4s and stuff, just to get rid of them. And
just to remove the doubt.
And yeah, it wasn't worth it.
No, wasn't worth it. I would expect Villa to turn over Newcastle, but we'll see. Next game, Leeds versus Chelsea.
Yeah, tricky one this. Chelsea, 3 clean sheets in a row. So Chelsea defence on fire, I think I said last week. Azpilicueta was on my watch list.
Yep.
Yeah, clean sheet last week. Rudiger, your mate, got dropped, obviously.
Yeah. Our mate.
Yeah, our mate. So it'll be interesting to see if he comes back, because Zouma took his place, which, you know.
And Christensen kept his.
Yeah, and Zouma is an FPL.
Oh, earlier in the season, Zouma went on an absolute tear.
Yeah.
He was the top scoring defender for a while.
So, yeah, my watch list just keeps growing at the minute. Every game we talk about. And Bamford has obviously blanked in the last two.
He missed a couple of sitters in that game against West Ham. And talking about teams relying on one player, you know, quite heavily rely on Bamford for their goals. And Rafinha as well. Like, they rely a lot. Like, so if Bamford and Rafinha don't play well, Leeds are a little bit nullified attacking. I mean, it's still exciting. Like, it's always fun to watch.
It's carnage to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm as a Leeds fan, like, sometimes it's exciting, sometimes it's terrifying. But Tricky game, that one. It's at Leeds, for what, if that matters these days. You probably fancy Chelsea for the win, but anything's possible. But yeah, watch out for those Chelsea defenders. Who knows who's going to play. Next game, Crystal Palace, West Brom. Obviously, Zaha's back. I've got nothing more to say about that fixture.
The most boring fixture.
As Scott would call it, a yawn game. So we'll just skip right ahead. Everton versus Burnley. Now, DCL blanking on the regs isn't weird. Coupled with Richarlison.
Yeah, so DCL has had one assist since game week 23. Richarlison scored 34 points in the same period.
How does that work?
I don't know. I don't know what's happened.
In the early part of the season, when DCL started, literally as he finished the last season, Richarlison and him were both playing well. Suddenly DCL was blanking left, right and centre, and Richarlison is bagging the points. I've actually even heard people talking about doing a straight swap, getting DCL out of the teams and Richarlison in.
Yeah, I've been considering it, but I think I might hold out for this. Let's just see where it goes. I'm calm.
That's good. I'm glad to hear you.
You've got to back DCL, haven't you?
I think so. And when I've done that before, he's then come good.
Yeah.
There are a fair few people who've still got him, but Rodriguez is on a 75%. Obviously, James Rodriguez also had a good start to the season and then sort of pitted out a bit, had a few injury problems. I think more fatigue than injury, to be honest. Just trying to get up to speed with the Premier League after only playing about 30 games in 2 years. That's deadly serious, but he's 75% if anyone needs to know. As for Burnley, I don't know. So, next game, Fulham versus Man City.
Yeah, Fulham have improved of late. So, it was always, you'd look at this fixture earlier on in the year and you'd just Man City, absolute goal fest.
Fulham were whipping boys, weren't they?
Yeah, but since game week 22, Fulham have only conceded two. So, that defence has just...
That's
just
amazing.
Just tightened up, so...
Yeah, that's huge. And Man City, I mean, obviously, we'll see... You know, at this moment in time, right now as we're recording this, we don't know how that Southampton game goes, but let's assume they win that. To be honest, I assume they're going to win most games. But you would obviously still back Man City to beat Fulham.
Oh, of course.
Even an improved Fulham. Unless, of course, that loss to Man United was the start of their Liverpool-style downfall, which would be an interesting... Oh, my God, imagine if that happens and then Man United end up winning the bloody league. Oh, Christ, I've said it out loud. I've wished it into existence. Sorry, guys, it's my fault.
I'm not coming on here again.
Next game, Southampton versus Brighton and Hove Albion. Southampton are in terrible form, and Brighton have got a really good defensive record this season.
Yeah.
Ings out, by the way, for Southampton.
Yeah, McCarthy. I know his ownership was quite high a few weeks ago, just I think purely because he was quite cheap. Southampton were doing...
Probably a good backup keeper.
But he seems to have been dropped for Forster. So Forster's 4 million. He's a good player to watch. Good bench player, especially if he's getting games.
Absolutely. I think this one, I'll probably be wrong now, but this has got 0-0 written all over it.
Yeah, it's another one of those just boring fixtures.
Which, you know what? If it is 0-0... You know, might pick up a clean sheet from a Southampton defender. So just to put a cat amongst the pigeons. Next game, Leicester, Sheffield United, Barnes, Madison, and Justin all out. It's pretty crucial there. That said, Iheanacho, since they've started playing him up front with Vardy, and Iheanacho's been the one getting the goals.
I always rated him.
Yeah, good player.
Yeah. I'm not too sure from a FPL perspective. He's never really got the consistency in the starts. And when he has come on for Vardy, it's always been late in the game.
But you know what might change that is if he scores again in this fixture.
So yeah, all of a sudden he'll be on people's radars.
That's usually how it goes. It's pretty reactive. Sheffield United, you know, second half of their season's definitely been better than their first, but they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So moving on swiftly, North London Derby.
Yeah, historically, always goals. This is all I think of when I see this fixture.
Arsenal at home to Tottenham.
Yeah, just always goals. It'd be nice to see Kane and Son at it from my perspective. But
yeah, North London Derby, as you say, always lots of goals. Maybe, I don't know, I mean, Tottenham, I would favour Tottenham just on the whole as how their season's going. But I don't know. This has got a Aubameyang hat trick written all over it.
Yeah, this is, if you've got defence assets for either Arsenal or Tottenham, I'd be,
leave them on the bench.
I'd be worried saying that. This bound to be a 0-0. Now I've said it out loud.
Time will tell, as always. Manchester United at home to West Ham. Rashford's at 75%. It is written all over the FPL website, but just in case people aren't aware, Lingard cannot play in this fixture. He can't play against his parent club, which is, of course, Man United. So just bear that in mind.
Which could be good news for Souček owners, because since Lingard's come in and is stealing all these goals and points, Souček seems to have dropped out a little bit. He hasn't scored as many points as we've been used to.
Lingard's in the spaces, isn't he?
Yeah, so...
Could be good for them. Could also be good for Man United.
Yeah.
And they'll want to... they'll probably be on a bit of a high since winning that Manchester derby. Should be a good game. Like, West Ham have definitely been punching above their weight. That game against Leeds, nothing against them. They did play well, but Leeds could have easily... That could have been a draw, that game. But take nothing away from West Ham. They're doing well. They're doing pretty decent. So, should be a very competitive game. And then the last game of the game week, Wolves versus Liverpool. I feel like, what do you even say about a fixture like that?
In my notes here, Gav, I've just got, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm about to start waxing lyrical about any Wolves FPL assets, but I'm absolutely not about any Liverpool ones. They're on the back of 6 home defeats.
Yeah, terrible.
Obviously, this is an away game.
Terrible form at the minute. Salah owners, you've got to be thinking about getting rid of him.
Absolutely. And after the break, we will touch on what we're going to do. And maybe one of us has done that. But if you're Wolves right now, you've got to be pretty motivated to put the boot in here.
Yeah, definitely. Wolves have just been a weird side this year, though.
They can't get it going. Yeah. Sometimes they like play fantastically, and other times they just don't turn up.
Yeah, and I think every FPL owner will have had a few Wolves assets at some point, particularly at the start of the season.
Yeah, potence.
And then just disappeared. Yeah. Kilman was a low budget.
Yeah, yeah.
He was getting a few starts, getting a few points.
Neto as well was one that was pretty good mid-season.
But there's just never been any consistency with their assets. So I
With that said, probably still fancy them to turn over Liverpool, compound their misery. Sorry to say that. I know you're a Liverpool fan.
A very sad episode for me this week.
Do you want me to play the sad music?
Yeah.
All right. We'll leave that there. So we'll have a little pause now. And then when we come back, we'll talk in a bit more detail about what we're going to do for game week 28, particularly with one eye on the blank game week 29. Bench Boss Boys. Game week 28. So, have you actually made any transfers yet?
None yet. I'm so indecisive about what I'm going to do. I'm just so conscious about the blank game week 29.
Right.
Not having enough in my starting lineup. I'm just holding out. I've got Madison in my team, who's obviously worth a lot of money, injured with no return date at the minute. So he'll be going.
He could be your pathway.
He'll be going, but I just don't know who I'm going to bring in yet. It's going to be an Arsenal midfielder, I want to say. But like a change.
Well, do you know what? If you're thinking about that change specifically for game week 29, at least you've kind of got another week to see what Arteta's doing at Arsenal.
Yeah, so that said, I might just roll the transfer, then have two.
I usually say I'm going to roll a transfer and then I make three.
Oh, 100%. I can guarantee you that I will not roll the transfer.
But right now it sounds like the sensible thing to do.
But yeah, but sensible isn't really my forte.
Well, you know, could be worse, mate. You're in the top half mil FPL player, so you're doing something right. Okay, so I have made a transfer already. And I foreshadowed slightly earlier. Salah is gone. I threatened it when we were on here last week. I said if he blanks against Fulham, he's fucking gone. Well, guess what? He's fucking gone.
And who did you bring in?
That's probably even more tasty. I've brought in Gareth Bale.
Viva Gareth Bale.
Yeah, there you go. You know why? Because fucking why not? And also, I figure he's a rather expensive differential in a way, because I'm sure a lot of people have already got Son, and I don't. I do have Kane. Bale, last few games, I mean, especially that last game, he's done really well. I'm acutely aware that his next game is a North London derby, but his, otherwise, his fixtures are all right.
Yeah, I fancy Bale, but I've got Son and Kane.
Yeah.
So,
Well, you're doing all right there, aren't you? But my backup is, if Bale suddenly doesn't play, because that's the reason why I delayed on not getting him until now, is because I just wanted that comfort of knowing that he was consistently playing. And he has been. I've probably cursed it now, and now he won't play for the next three games, or we'll be doing 15 minutes off a bench. But let's hope he doesn't. But if that is the case, I think I will likely just switch him for Son.
Yeah.
And I've got the money to do that, so...
Yeah, the risk with Bale is obviously that at the minute he's not getting the 90 minutes, so...
I'm okay. If Gareth Bale's playing 75 minutes and scoring a goal or two, it's fine by me.
Absolutely.
So that's my transfer. I don't know. I might still make another one. I might do the Cancelo to Diaz, or I might get Rüdiger out and possibly bring in Dawson, like I talked about earlier when we were on the watchlist chat. Otherwise, likely to play a 3-4-3 this week and captain Kane.
This is my other thing, which I just can't decide on this week, is who I forgot to say my formation and captain. But yeah,
I know he's playing Arsenal, but otherwise, just looking at my team, do you know what? That said, now I'm in an R in. I might go Bruno Fernandes against West Ham.
This is my dilemma, yeah.
In fairness, it's usually between a few. Experience tells us that you give it to a big player and not a defender. But looking at my team as it is and the fixtures, it's very much a toss-up between Fernandes and Kane for me.
Gundogan with Fulham as well is...
I know, but I just feel like he's fallen back into a 3 or 4 point player now KDB's back.
Yeah.
So
I guess we'll find out after the Southampton game.
Yeah, this might sound really funny to listeners. Listen to it after...
When he bangs in six
after
goals.
After Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah, and they'll be going, what the fuck was he talking about? Gundogan just scored six. But on paper, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. 4 weeks ago, I would have been captaining Gundogan against Fulham. Absolutely. Now, no. Kane, probably more so in form. That is slightly risky because it's a derby fixture. So the safe bet with the players I have is probably Fernandes. So I might well fall back into that. You've got Fernandes and Kane, right?
Yeah, so I've got a 4-4-2 preliminary for next week. So I've got Stones, Pereira, Rüdiger, Shaw at the back four, Fernandes, Son, Gundogan, Suchek, DCL and Kane. So DCL's playing Burnley, which... Again, yeah. Earlier in the season, I'd look at captain him, but form tells me probably not.
Yeah, you're right.
So my big, Kane or Bruno Fernandes, I think. It depended on the City game against Southampton, possibly Gundogan.
Interesting.
And, yeah, I've benched Bamford.
Okay.
Against Chelsea. I just think that Chelsea defence is very tight at the minute.
Yeah, I get that. I may well have done that myself, but my fifth midfielder is Lingard, who can't play. And defence-wise, at the moment, it's sat at Dallas, Cancelo, Rüdiger. I've deliberately put Creswell at first sub. As much as he's playing against Man United, it's not the end of the world if Rüdiger doesn't play and Creswell comes in automatically. I'll tell you what, though, defensively, I could be in for a bad game week. Let's say Cancelo doesn't play against Fulham. Chelsea thump Leeds. Rüdiger doesn't play and Man United thump West Ham. Defensively, I'm going to be on like 1 or 2 points for all of those, but that might just happen. And then hopefully I pick up the points further up the field. And Martinez should get a clean sheet against Newcastle.
Yeah. And if he doesn't, he always just seems to make so many saves that he gets the points
and stuff,
although that being said, Newcastle are effectively playing without a striker in that Callum Wilson's not there.
It's pretty sad, isn't it? All right. Okay. Well, that's pretty solid. Speaking of Gundogan, our mailbag question is about him. So we'll take one last little breather and we'll tackle that mailbag. Are you ready to tackle the bag? Give it a squeeze.
Always ready.
Mailbag time. Yes, it is. It's mailbag time. Question this week comes from a guy called Scott, manager of Lalana's in Pyjamas. Sounds familiar.
Very scared man at the minute.
He should be, shouldn't he?
His lead is, fact, is you know slipping what? Away.
Screw it. Before we get to his question, let's have a look at the Bench Boost Boys Fantasy Premier League Private League, which Scott was top of for some time. And he isn't by about, is that 60 points? 40 points? A lot. No, that's 60 points. Yeah. Nearly 60 points, about 56 points or so. Sensei X is top of that league. Yeah, so, and you are right on his heels. Scott currently has 1683 points and you've got 1670, 13 points between you.
Imagine if I had Luke Shaw as my first sub.
I feel like I should be playing the sad music because you should have played Luke Shaw. Mailbag time. But it's mailbag time. So we'll get back to the question. And yeah, do join that private league. Code is P2IFBX. Get it joined. Right. Scott asks, would Gundogan to Bale be ridiculous?
It's a good question.
You know, what's the
answer? He doesn't come out with many good things.
What,
does
Scott?
Yeah. but this one, I don't know whether it would be ridiculous. So Gundogan's got his next three fixtures are Fulham, blank, Leicester. Bale's got Arsenal, Villa in the blank game week, and then Newcastle. Fixtures, you'd say Bale.
Well, other things to consider as well is these two players are at massively different price points, but I'm figuring Scott must have cash in the bank. Gundogan, like I said previously, when we talk about what we're going to do, I feel like he slipped down to more of a 4 point a game kind of player, mainly because it feels like KDB is kind of getting into those attacking positions that he surged forward to, a bit like the Suchet Lingard situation. And as you said, he's only got two fixtures over the next three game weeks. Bale in form is playing, scoring lots of points. As you said, he's got Arsenal next. Bit of a wild one that. He is in the blank game week against Villa and then Newcastle straight after that. So I feel like on balance, it's probably a good thing to do.
Yeah. Also, it depends on if you've already got Kane and you've already got Son.
Which he does, by the way.
Yeah. I don't think it would be...
That's not very Scott to have three guys from one team. But I don't know. Like
All your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, but if maybe he'd be doing it because he wants that blank game week fixture. So maybe for the sake of there being so few fixtures in blank game week 29 that he wouldn't mind having Son, Bale and Kane. I mean, put it this way, if you had Son, Bale and Kane in the game that Spurs have just played, you'd have done all right.
Yeah, you make a very good point there.
But he's also got to wear that for the Arsenal game.
And it depends on the route you've got to take. As you said, that they're very different price points. If you've got to take a minus four to free up some cash or a minus, you know, potentially a minus eight, then I'd say, yeah, maybe that is ridiculous.
It looks like he's got about 4.8 mil to play with.
So with Gundogan going out, that takes you to the...
Yeah, he could do that. Like Gundogan is at like 6.2, so 4.8. Yeah, he could do that. It's going to take him up to like 10 mil or something. So he could definitely make that happen. If it's a short-term thing, I mean, for me, I'm not so naive to think that I just slot Bale into my team and he's there till the end of the season banging in three goals a game. Like, I know that he's a bit injury-prone and that he might not play every game, but I figure why not roll the dice and give it a go while he's in form and he's playing? And it might get you over the blank game week.
Yeah, and again, he's that awkward price point where there's not much else. If you've got 9 or 10 mil, you've already got Bruno, which I know he's gone above that price point now. But with Madison, Barnes injured, Grealish injured.
Yeah. I think Barnes and Madison being injured was a real game changer for a lot of people because it's like, what do I do now?
Yeah, Grealish potentially injured as well. There's a lot of those mid to good, you know, mid to top tier players.
I would say, though, if you've got the money and it looks like Scott does, why not?
Do it.
Yeah. I mean, give it a go. I mean, personally, I'd rather he didn't because then his team just stays eerily similar to mine and that'll make it harder for me to catch up with him. So from that point of view, no. But if there are other people listening who have that situation and they're wondering what to do and they've got cash in the bank or other ways, like I took out Salah, who is very expensive to bring in Bale, who was a few million cheaper. I did it. I think why not give Bale a go, particularly if you don't have Son. But if you're just looking to maximise that blank game week and you think Spurs are going to get a good result, get it done. What do you reckon?
Yeah, do it.
Cool. Well, on that note then, I hope the our predictions for the Man City Southampton game come true and Cancelo and Gundogan get millions of goals.
And Stones.
And sure, and Stones for you. I hope he gets a red card.
he definitely will.
For those of you listening who already know that result, sorry, that must be slightly tedious for you. I hope you all had a good game week. I hope you have a good game week 28, and don't forget to send in your questions for the mailbag at BenchBoostBoys on Twitter. BenchBoostBoys.club is the website, and we'll catch you next time. Cheers, Ben.
Thanks, mate. See you then.